Amen. Well, good evening. If you have your Bibles, could you turn them to Ezekiel chapter number 37? Ezekiel chapter number 37 is where we're going to be. And I was just thinking, as many of the prayer requests were being mentioned, I just thought that God laid the perfect passage of scripture in my heart for everybody in this room and for myself as well. Ezekiel chapter number 37, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It is amazing just to see the grace of God in your life on an individual and daily basis. I mean, if you really think about where we could be right now, but God has us in church right now. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be in this position tonight. And my heart is just so humbled that God would seek out me, that God would love me enough to put me in church tonight. And I could be any other place right now, but I'm right here. And so I'm just so grateful for what the Lord has laid in my heart. And, you know, to be honest, I needed this message, if not more than anyone in this room. And I pray that it would be a blessing to you tonight. Verse number 37, chapter number 37, we begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your eyes, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And ye shall put my, and I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Lord, I pray that during the short time that we have to look into your word, Father, I pray that you would just unlock to us the truths of your word. Father, I pray that you would challenge our hearts. I pray that you would allow us to increase in our faith, increase in our trust in you. And Lord, I pray that you would help me. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross of Christ. I pray that you would help me to get out the way. And Lord, I pray that you would use me simply as your vessel. Would you put your words in my mouth? And I pray that you would be honored and glorified through it all. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This past week, as we were at this conference in D.C., God just showed me many things. And one of the things that he showed me is my Christianity, my relationship with him, my vision is dead. I don't see things the way that God sees them. I don't see people the way that God sees them. I don't see this world the way that God sees them. You know, oftentimes as Christians, we live defeated lives. Oftentimes as Christians, we live as if, man, we're not on the winning side. We live as if, hey, it's all said and done. It's all over. There's no hope for us. And honestly, we just live defeated lives. And so in this passage, you have the children of God. And after the sins of Judah and Jerusalem, God promises restoration and deliverance. If you go down to verse number 24, it says, "And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them." So God promised them restoration and deliverance. However, it just seemed impossible, given their circumstance, that God was going to deliver them. And it isn't like God, when he says that he's going to do something or allow you to experience something, that's when something happens to challenge that. That's when the doubt comes. That's when you say, hey, God, what are you doing? You promised this. Why is this thing happening to me? And it isn't like God sometimes to tie your hands and tie your feet so that the only person that you can trust in is him. The only person that is going to be faithful through the promise is him. And you get to see him through it all. It was unlikely that everything was going to come together. I mean, the children of Israel, they had no land, they had no king, they had no temple. They were dead. But the impossibilities are possible when you have an impossible God. And I looked at this and I read this. I was like, man, there's no hope for any of these dry bones. And then I looked at God said this, the Lord said to prophesy. So they didn't have any land, they didn't have any king, they didn't have any temple. The city was dead, but they had God. And I thought about in my life, how many times I live a defeated life when the only person that I need is God. You know, I don't need finances, I don't need material possessions, I don't need a house, I don't need anything. The only person that I need in this world is God himself. And he's everything that I could have ever wanted. Everything I could have ever imagined. He is enough for me. And if he's enough to the children of Israel, he could be enough for you in your circumstance, in your situation. All you need is God. And can I tell you tonight that God is going to show up in your trial, in your tribulation. And all you have to do is simply trust him. All you have to do is simply have faith in God. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say live by sight. It says live by faith. In my Bible reading this last week, I came to a passage of scripture when Paul said, if we are allowed to see things, how can we have hope? I mean, is that hope to see something? Or is it hope to trust in something that you've never seen? Is it hope to trust in the promises of God? Is it hope to trust in the word of God? That's where our hope is found. That's where our faith is found, in the unseen things of God. So these children of Israel, they were divided, they were dispersed, they were discouraged, they were defeated. But God promised his children that he was going to bring them out. God promised his children that he was going to bring them out of captivity and return them to their own land. And I mean, if anybody knew that God could deliver them, it was the children of Israel. If you go back to Moses, how God delivered them from the Egyptian rule, I mean, how God parted the Red Sea for them, if anybody knew that God could get them out of a sticky situation, it was the children of Israel. And if God, if anyone knows the deliverance of God, it ought to be Christians. Think about how God delivered you from the power of sin. I mean, think about, you have no reason, no worries in the world because you know that God is going to take care of you. I mean, think about, you have no power, the sin has no power over you, no dominion over you. You are freed from the power of sin. And you no longer have the opportunity, the ability to serve sin anymore because you are free from that bondage. If anyone knows deliverance, it's the children of God. But think about how often that fades away because we start focusing on ourselves. We stop focusing on what he can do, and we start focusing on, hey, what can I do? God, how can I help you? How can I live by sight instead of living by faith? So in this passage, we see a great resurrection from death to life. And so when we don't know what to do, that's when God shows up and gives us exactly what we need. And when God is in it, it's not over. There's no limit to what God can do. So we're going to look at four things in this passage that we can take to in our life so that we can live a victorious Christian life. And this is something that has been hammering me for the longest. How can I preach to someone about Jesus that can save them, that can change them, if I'm not living a victorious Christian life? Why would they want what I have if I cannot prove to them that God is great in my life, that God is mighty in my life, that God is able to save them and deliver them from the power of sin? And this really hit me. I've been working with a young man that, you know, was in a dire situation, and man, it just seemed like there was no way but up for him. And this man, young man, has been trusting in God. And I remember telling him in that situation, isn't it so easy just to tell someone, hey, just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. God will deliver you. God will help you through. It's so easy to say the words, but when you actually have to trust God for yourself, hey, that's when it becomes real. And it hit me, how can I tell this young man to trust the Lord if I'm not living it? How can I practice what I'm preaching in this situation if I'm not living, if I'm not living by faith? How can I tell someone else to do that same thing? So the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And this is another thing that I thought about this week. If we never went through anything, how do we know that God is able to deliver us? I mean, if God held our hand, if God pampered us, how will we be able to know that He is able? I mean, if you never had any financial trouble, how would you know that God is Jehovah Jireh? If you never allowed God to lead you and guide you, how could you know that He is Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord your shepherd? I mean, if you never went through a health difficulty, how do you know that He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals? I mean, if your enemies weren't encamped about you, your enemies weren't trying to destroy you, how do you know that He is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord your banner? How will we know God is able if He never allowed us to go through anything? So first of all, tonight we're going to see that there is a great problem. And the great problem is that we don't believe God. The great problem is that we are dead spiritually. The great problem is that, hey, we don't believe that we serve a great God. And no wonder we walk around with our heads down. No wonder we walk around with no joy. No wonder we walk around defeated, because we're not reckoning what we have in Christ. We're not reckoning what we have in Him. We're not looking to Him as our author and the finisher of our faith. So the great problem in this passage is that Israel is defeated, that they're dispersed, that they're discouraged, that they're divided. But not only do we see that there is a great problem in this, but this connects it. There is a promise as well. And that promise is made in verse number 24, as we read. It says, David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And isn't like God, that He always gives you a solution to your problems. I mean, you have a financial problems, He gives you the solution of tithing. You have a healing problem, He gives you the solution of praying. If you have any problem in the world, He gives you the solution every single time. And so what is the solution to these dry bones coming alive again? Number one, it is the spoken word. And number two, it's the breath, the Spirit of God. And so what do you need to get back in the fight? What do you need to get back on fire? What do you need to allow your dry bones to live again? The Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's what you need on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit working in you, the Word of God working in you. And that's how you can be a victorious Christian. So what is the problem? We as Christians live defeated lives because we don't know who our God is. The problem is we as Christians are dry bones. We're dead. And as I said before, how could the world want what we have if we're dead? If more is going on in the world than in the church, more is going on in the world than your prayer life, more is going on in the world, more prayers are being answered for people. More things are happening, more circumstances are happening in other people's life than in your prayer life. And I mean, doesn't that bother you that you don't have anything going on? Doesn't it bother you that, man, prayers aren't being answered? Doesn't it bother you that nothing's going on, that God's not teaching you anything? Does that bother you? Or do you want to see God do more through your life? Do you want to see God do greater things through your life? And think about this as well. A lot of times in the scripture, we look at holy men of God. A lot of times in the scripture, look at men like David and look at men like Joseph and Paul. And we say, man, they have amazing relationship with God. But they serve the same God that we do. We can have the same exact relationship. We can have the same exact closeness as they had with God. But we just have to want it. And I ask you this simple question. What are you searching after more today? The pleasures of this world or your relationship with God. I mean, the only thing that's going to matter in the end is your relationship with God. Not your job, not your car, not your family. The only thing that's going to matter is your relationship with God. I mean, have you got to that place in your life where you say, hey, I'm going to follow God no matter what? No matter if my family forsakes me, no matter if my coworkers forsake me, no matter what, I'm going to follow God because, hey, that's my audience. I'm living for the audience of one. Amen. So not only do we see this great problem, but we see the promise that God made. And it is amazing that every promise that God makes, he always comes through on it. And I was trying to think, like, man, has there ever been a promise that God made that he didn't come through on? And there's never not been one. He has been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful in the present. He'll be faithful in the future as well, because we serve a great and mighty God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, but also the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever God has promised you in his word, it'll come to pass. And that's one of my favorite phrases in the Bible. It shall come to pass. And then another phrase, but God. But God commendeth his love toward us, but if it wasn't for the grace of God. It is so amazing once you really think about it, how great and how mighty of a God that we serve. So not only do we see a problem, the people of God these people are dead. These bodies are dry. These bodies are dead. We see a promise that God is going to raise up Israel and allow them to be delivered out of the captivity and return into their own land. But thirdly, we see the great power, the great power. And the amazing thing that I ask you simply tonight is, are you seeing God's power in your life? I mean, are you seeing God do some great and mighty things in your life? I mean, it was a miracle that you got saved. And it's a miracle that you continue by the grace of God each and every day, that you continue to walk in his steps, that you continue to be changed into his image. That is a miracle every day, given the state of your heart. And I ask myself the question, man, how could I continue to walk in faith and continue to grow when my heart is wicked, when my heart is wretched? And I mean, that is a miracle of God each and every day of my life. And I simply ask you, what miracles, what big things are you asking God for? And if God could raise to life dry bones, I mean, if I were to go over to that cemetery across the street over there, and if I were to say, hey, you know what? Dead bones, rise up. What would happen? Nothing would happen. Zero, zilch, nada. If I went, walked up to a dead person, raise up, nothing would happen. But when the power of God comes into the equation, there's no limit to what he can do. I mean, God, he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. He created everything. And just as if he gave that power to those dead bones to rise again, just as he had power to raise himself up from the dead, that same power is living within inside of you to help you with whatever circumstance, whatever trial and tribulation you're facing. Man, whatever prayer you have, that same power is living within inside of you via the Holy Spirit to help you through no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the trial is. God is able. And that is the power that we see here. You know, Ezekiel didn't, you know, muster up this power. Ezekiel didn't basically hoist this power on his own. Ezekiel got this power from the Lord. And that's where we get our strength. That's where we get our power from, the Lord. And it always amazes me that God allows his power to come at the exact time that we need it. And not only the exact time that we need it, but only the exact time where he gets the glory through it. And it just amazes me that he always brings man to the end of himself, and man just seems like he has no hope. Then all of a sudden God shows up, and then people are like, wow, look at that amazing, great God. And there's no room to gloat for us. And in this passage, there's no room for Ezekiel to gloat as well. Verse number 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and bones came together, and bone to his bone. And when I beheld, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. Excuse me, but there was no breath in them. And so the amazing part is, not only did God allow for the bones to come together, but he allowed the muscles, the skin to come together as well. I mean, think about how great of a God you have to serve for all these dry bones to all of a sudden have skin and flesh. And if he could do that, no situation is impossible for him. So we see this great problem. We have these bones that are dry, these bones that are dead, this army that is completely desolate, discouraged. Then we see the promise of God, that God is going to restore them, that God is going to deliver Israel. Then we see God's great power. And then you ask yourself the question, what is the purpose behind it? I mean, God, what is the purpose of me trusting you by faith through it all? And it's found in verse number 13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place in you, I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. It's all about God's glory. That's what it's all about when it's all said and done. It's amazing to me that oftentimes our prayer life doesn't match the God that we serve. It amazes me that our Christian life does not match the God that we serve. Our impossibilities are impossible, but we have a God that delights in impossibilities. We have a God that can do great and mighty things, but do we trust him? Is our faith in him? I mean, do we believe that God could save that family member of ours? Do we believe that God could bless our finances? I mean, do we truly believe that God can meet each and every need? I mean, do we really believe that this is the true word of God? That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? There is an old gospel song, and we sung this at the church planning conference, and it was just so amazing. Looking back at life, the theme of the conference was, we've come this far by faith. And so the whole mindset was, if God has brought us this far, if God has given us the strength to go this far, can he give us the strength to keep on going on to our course is finished? And they sung this song, and it just spoke to my heart. Because God has been good to me before, and because I know who God is, I can trust him in the future as well. And as I said before, if we never went through anything, if we never faced anything, how can we know that God is real? And so we've come this far by faith. And God's faith is, I mean, trusting in God, and that faith is going to keep us going on and going on and going on. But the song goes like this. It says, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. It says, no turning around. We've come this far by faith. I will trust the Lord till I die. I will stay on the battlefield till I die. I've come this far by faith. He's never failed me yet. And the one thing that I want more than anything in my life as a young man, and I know that I have a long race to go. I mean, I'm only 25 years old. I have a long way to go. But the one prayer that I have is that I would finish well. The one prayer that I have is that I would be faithful to God to the end. That's the one thing I'm asking God. No matter the circumstance, no matter what happens in my life, that I would be faithful to the end, that I would trust him for great and mighty things, that my faith would match my God. And not only that, that I'll show this world how great my God is, how powerful he is. And if he's able to raise up dry bones, put muscle on them, allow them to breathe again, there's no soul that he can't save. There's no marriage that he can't save. There's no person that he can't heal. There's no family that he can't help. There's no family that he can't restore. My God is able. And what is he able to do? Exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. My heart's one desire is to show this world how powerful he is, how mighty he is, how worthy he is, not only of my praise, not only my worship, but he's worthy of my whole life. He's worthy of my everything. And that's where God wanted to bring the children of Israel to that point, where they said, hey, I don't serve God for this. I don't serve God for that. But I serve God because he's God. I serve God because he's delivered me, because he's helped me. The Lord is my help. Really quick, if you turn over to Psalm 3, Psalm chapter number 3. The Bible says this. Oh, thank you. It says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no hope for him in God. Selah. Then the Bible says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Simply put this, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. And then A.W. Tozer said this. He said, what a pity we plan only things that we could do ourselves. I mean, we have a God that's able to deliver us from our enemies, that's able to do anything, but we settle for our plans, for our purposes, for our will. And we don't say, hey, Lord, let your will be done. And as I said before, I'm just thankful for the grace of God, that when I limit God, he doesn't cast me off, but he says, hey, Jeremiah, increase your faith a little bit more. Jeremiah, this is how great and mighty I am. This is how strong I am. This is what I could do through your life. Just trust me. Just trust me. Just live by faith every single day. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And I believe with all my heart that when we get to the end, when we see him, it'll all be worth it. Trusting him, living by faith. Man, the heart aches, the heart breaks. You get to see him one-on-one. And you just say, hey, thank you, God, for leading me all through the way. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for growing me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for being the good shepherd. Thank you. Thank you, God. You're so wonderful. You're so precious. And we get to do that for all eternity. Praising him, thanking him. And not only can you do that for all eternity, you can do that right now in your life, right now. So we come to the end of the message, and here we say, so what? So the so what is, would you allow God to raise your dead Christianity and make it alive again? Would you allow God to take you from a defeated Christian to a victorious Christian because you realize the God that you serve and you realize that he lives within inside of you, realize that he is on your side? Another question, what does your faith in God look like right now? The Bible says that if you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to a mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be removed. How big is your faith in your big God? Where is your faith in God? Thirdly, are you content with not seeing the power of God in this generation? Are you content with that? Is that okay with you? And then fourthly tonight, are you content with your dead Christianity? I mean, are you okay with that? Are you okay being dry bones? Are you okay with God not using you? Are you okay with your prayer life being dead? Is that okay? And as I close, just want to share something that was a blessing to me at the conference. One of the speakers, he spoke on how the children of Israel, basically, there's a generation that knew not God. That knew God, but knew not his works. And basically, just what he's saying is that oftentimes the reason why people don't want God is because we do a great deal of talking about God, but not a great deal of showing them about God. And so somehow that misses that generation. He was talking about how he feels as though he's missed out on a lot. And our generation has missed out. The millennials has missed out a lot on knowing who God is because of the older generation. They did a lot of talking, but they didn't do a lot of showing. And he challenged us millennials. He said, be different. He said, don't just talk about God. He said, show people God. And he said, people in this world, they know who God is, but they don't know him intimately. They don't know him personally because they heard a lot of talking, but not a lot of showing. And would you in your heart tonight determine, hey, you know, I'm not just going to talk the talk, but I'm going to walk the walk. I'm going to show this world a great God that I serve. I'm going to live victoriously. I mean victoriously, because God has delivered me from the power of sin. I don't have to serve it. I don't have to look at it. I don't have to touch it, because God is greater than sin. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so humbled by your presence, by your graciousness, and Lord, that you allow us weak vessels to serve a great king. And Lord, that you would send your son Jesus to die for stubborn sheep, for stubborn people that doubt your faith, that doubt your goodness, that doubt what you can do. And Lord, genuinely tonight, Lord, we ask you to search our hearts, to search our motives, to try us, God, so that we can trust you for great and mighty things, so that our faith in you may increase. Thank you for being such a good God, so long-suffering, so patient, so kind, always good. And Lord, we love you dearly, and may we show your power to this generation. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.